We are going to talk about Chapter 11, Design Principles or Design Disciplines. This is basically the chapter in the book that talks about graphic design. Let's take a look at this first work here by Jamie Reed, God Save the Queen, made in 1977. It is considered to be one of the greatest albums ever designed. Something about this work, it was based off of a song with the same title, God Save the Queen, by the band Sex Pistols. And it is a very controversial song because we are looking at a picture that involves the royalty in the country, and the royalty there is very controversial in that they technically do not have power that you would expect from a monarchical figure. And so what people in the UK would say is that what's the point of keeping this lineage going, because it's not like they're doing anything to really influence the country. They're not acting like a king or queen. So in a way, this song mocks that. Why are they worshiping these people? Why are they following them when they no longer have that power? And so even though it was controversial, it became a number one selling song. Okay. And so what graphic design refers to is this process of working with words and pictures to enhance a visual communication. Creative process employing art and technology to communicate ideas. Okay, so if you ever see a type of image that has text and that they are working together to generate a message, you are looking at an example of graphic design. And if we take a look at this work here, looks like something that you would see in terms of shopping, in terms of fashion, very high-end brand. If you can see the logo in the lower left-hand corner, Saks Fifth Avenue, very high-end, expensive brand. And so what makes this image important is that there was a contest, in that the company was trying to look for someone to redesign their logo. So basically get the Saks Fifth Avenue logo and remake it so that it feels a little bit more innovative, something that feels fresh. And so what the designer that won the contest, what he actually did was basically get their original logo. And what he did was he just spliced it up into squares and then put them back together. And so now you're looking at a logo that very much resembles the original one, but it definitely has a different feeling to it. Okay, we're going to talk a little bit about typography. It is the art and technique of composing printed material from letter forms. Typography is something like typefaces or fonts. So anytime we are looking at letters on print or letters on advertisement, we are looking at typeface or typography. And you can say that they are very instrumental in, making the message stronger. Or they can actually make the overall work a little bit more aesthetically pleasing. Here's an example of some graphic design being used on a very mundane situation. Donald Meeker, Clearview Highway typeface, 2004 to present. And it is basically the type that we see when we're driving on the freeways. Okay, and so there are different ways to describe type font. This is one of them, one type of font that is used a lot, a serif. A serif is a European-style typeface based on capital letters carved in stone by early Romans. Okay, so something about serif fonts, they can be described as having both thin and thick qualities to them. They usually end with a tail or a pointed end. So if you see a letter that has some accentuation, a little bit of a flair to it, it's probably a serif font. And a lot of them were inspired by these early signs made in Rome. Okay, so a serif font is a type of font that has a tail, and it has a very diverse usage of line. You'll see thin areas and thick areas. And so if you take a look at this example of an early poster, the Ben-Hur poster for 25 cents, or actually it looks like maybe a comic book based off of the epic. And so we're looking at some stylized text, especially in the top. You can see where the B has that vertical line, but when you start to see the rounded parts of the B, you'll see that flare in the beginning, that tail. Same thing with the E, you'll see those accentuations on the line just to make it feel a little bit more decorative, a little bit more stylized. And so that is an example of a serif font. Okay, so we also have a sans serif font. Sans serif fonts are more modernized. They do not have tails. So something that many designers are doing, they are updating a lot of their fonts. They are not using those serif fonts as much as they did in the past. A lot of companies are using minimalism when it comes to getting their brand across, to get their advertisements across. You won't most likely not see font that is serif, especially when it comes to print. Or even on television these days, not too many serif fonts being seen. And the reason why is that sans serif fonts are a little bit easier to read. They are simpler, not as decorative, so it gets straight to the point. So you can say it's a good thing in that, you know, it's basically going to make a statement, but at the same time, it takes away a little bit of the personality behind the company. And so if we take a look at this example here, the same designer from earlier, the one that made the freeway sign, you can see an example of the sans, the serif font, and then with the R, there's no tails. It looks very standardized. And if you look at the letter A, that also is standard. But if you look at the A in the center, it's a little bit, it curves a little bit, the tail of the A. So it makes it a little bit more of a serif font. Then it goes back to being normal. Okay, so let's take a look at this work here. If you go shopping, if you go grocery shopping, you probably recognize a lot of these letters. And what I often do in my class is I have my students guess if they guess the product just from looking at that one letter. So I'm hoping that you can recognize a few of them here, maybe several of them. The one that stands out to me the most is the K for Kool-Aid. The E for Eggo. Let's see. O looks like Oreo. P looks like Pez for candy. I don't know if you guys know that. The S for Starburst. R for Reese's. So a lot of a lot of candy, but also I believe the A is all. It's a laundry detergent. See. A lot of I see from the drinks you can buy at the 7-Eleven. Take a look at this. See what you can remember. And so this was made by artist Heidi Cody. The piece is called American Alphabet, made in the year 2000. 26 letters and the initials of corporate logos. And what she says here, quote, "I try to get viewers to consciously acknowledge how indoctrinated or branded they are," unquote. And so what she's basically saying is that when we look at all of these letters and this idea that we are right away recognizing them, we know where that letter comes from, that in a way proves that we are being conditioned to go to that product, to recognize it, and that just for us to have that interaction is enough for us to go out and purchase whatever that product is. So yes, we are very influenced by what we see. And of course, corporations, they use it. They use this as a way to get people to buy their product. Okay, and so let's take a look at this example of graphic design. You Blew Me Away, Craig Ward, 2007. And so right away, we are probably relying mostly on the text to tell us what the piece is about. But if we go beyond that and we look at the rest of the composition, we'll notice that it appears the message is on glass, and that it appears to have been shattered. That giving an effect to what we are already reading. So in a way, the artist is able to amplify what this message is about. I really enjoy the particles and how they are arranged and how they are so dynamic. A lot of different textures happening with the dust particles or the glass particles. Very nice overall composition. Okay, something about graphic design that we should learn about is a logo. Logo is an identifying mark or trademark based on letter forms combined with pictorial elements. So if ever we look at a particular brand, think of the things that you enjoy buying for yourself, say, clothing. Maybe you like athletic clothing, and you like Nike or Adidas, or what else? What else are people wearing these days? I see young people wearing Supreme clothing. I still see students wearing things like surfer brand clothing. What else? Wow, my mind is going blank right now. I like, let's see, I like to wear a lot of different brands. I think my favorite at the moment is ASICS. ASICS is an athletic clothing company, and I really enjoy their logo. It looks like an A, a cursive A, and for me, I like it because it looks like a cursive E. If I were to look at it upside down, it's just the first letter of my name, and so I identify with it in a different way. But yes, logos are very neat. It makes a particular brand of merchandise more exciting. If we take a look at this classic example of a logo, we're looking at what appears to be a lantern. done very minimally. The object is rendered very flat. We are seeing a lantern with a flame in the center, and this burst of light shining behind it. Okay, very symmetrical design, very basic. This is from the Sovereign Bank. The designer is called Superflex. I believe Superflex is a group of designers. Very prim and traditional. And so we have to ask ourselves, why would a bank use a lantern as their logo? And so you can say that a lantern is a bit of a vintage way to shed light if you were living in the past, and that you needed to walk in the evening, you didn't have flashlight, you would have a lantern. You basically had a glass with a candle inside. And so we had to ask ourselves, okay, so the bank is using this as their logo, so maybe there's a connection to it in that the bank, they probably think of their institution as something, an institution that has been around for a long time, and that they are there to shed light on, or to give light to people that might need to, they need to apply for a loan, they need to purchase a house. And so having a light is a little bit of a reassurance. So, very clever way to incorporate some of these traditional images into their design. Basically, it's there to help create trust between the customer and the company. And so if we take a look at this example, so many of us are probably seeing that eagle shape in the center there, very minimal as well. Something that you'll notice about many logos, they're very minimal. circle, rectangle, there's a little bit of changes here and there. Colonial Bank, also by the Superflex designer. The Colonial Bank is based off of the letter C, turned into a lighted orb like the sun. And so what we are seeing is the silhouette shape of an eagle. Traditionally, American symbol looks to guard from the distance. So again, banks want for their customers to feel safe, that they are investing their money in an institution that can be guaranteed to be taken care of, and that's what this logo stands for. And of course, we see somewhat the letter C. The letter C is stands for their name, Colonial. Okay. And so we're going to talk a little bit about posters. Posters are concise visual announcements that provide information through integrated design of typographic and pictorial imagery. So yes, think of a visual announcement, but there is also some text and images, of course. You probably have seen posters everywhere, or especially if you were, but we are not on campus right now, but if you were to walk to the class on your way there on those podium stands, you'll see a lot of posters. People trying to create awareness of a particular event, or pizza with the president, and so on. So here's an example of a poster being used. Okay, Chat Noir. An effective poster attracts attention and conveys its message. The creativity of a poster designer is directed towards a specific purpose, and the intention for posters are to advertise or to persuade. If we look at this poster here, very decorative, if you look at the treatment of the text, it's actually very creative. You have the black title, and then the letters change in size. They turn red, and then they turn black again. And so we have a little bit of a rhythm being established. Okay, so I'm guessing, I don't speak French, but I'm guessing it says black cat in the middle. Looks like a type of advertisement for maybe a show. Very different. It looks like there's a person's name in the bottom. That's probably the main actor. But yes, posters are visual announcements. Check this out. Come over here. Join us. So here's another example of a poster. Here. It feels very contemporary, fairly recent. And so we are looking at what appears to be a national flag. I'm not 100% sure of the country. We see eyes coming from the center color there. And it has text in the bottom, Article Rights 15. Everyone has the right to a nationality. No one shall be arbitrarily deprived of his or her nationality, nor denied the right to change it. Wow. Sounds like a pretty powerful message. It's a poster made by the Black Panther Party. Many social causes find vivid expressions in posters. Chaz Mavain Davies, 1996. And so maybe some of us are aware or have heard of the Black Panther Party. They are basically a revolutionary protest group standing up for African American rights. And so, yes, you could probably say the message here is that people shouldn't be judged by their color, by their nationality. They should be accepted for whatever they are. Okay, here's another example of graphic design being used in a poster. This is more of a magazine cover, the New Yorker. And if we look at this, it's a detailed map of the particular area in New York State, except that if you were to look close, a lot of the text are exaggerated, and they seem to be somewhat mocking of different topics. If you look at some of the text I'm reading here, I see taxi stand, Alzheimer's. Looking at the bottom here, forget about it, Stan. It sounds like the way they talk in New York, forget about it. Botoxia. So many things. Bronxistan. And what else? I found something interesting on here too. Let's see. And I can't find it. A lot of interesting things. Very, very bad. Khakis. Okay. Hip hop are bad, yeah. Okay, so another example of a poster being created here by a graphic design group called Virus Launch, drowning in advertising from Olympics set of pictograms, 2009. This is actually a iPhone wallpaper, 480 by 320 pixels. And so what makes this work so powerful? If you were to look at it right away, maybe it would resemble something that many of us are conscious of. Maybe it looks like the Coca-Cola brand. Does it look like the Coca-Cola brand? Right away, that's what I'm thinking, mainly because of the colors in that swoosh of a line in the center. And so during the 2008 Olympics, you can say that the Coca-Cola brand basically took over the whole, not took over, but was such a big influence over the Olympics. And so it was almost like every 30 seconds or so, you'll somehow see the Olympic, you'll see the Coca-Cola brand on the screen. And so what is happening is that Coca-Cola is paying these networks to broadcast the Olympics, and that they are advertising through them. And so you could say that for every time a Coca-Cola logo pops up on the network, then the Coca-Cola company would have to pay that network, $3,000 or so. And what is happening is Coca-Cola is basically harnessing people to buy their product just from watching the Olympics. So maybe you remember that, maybe you don't. I remember that. I think I was in school. I was in college in 2008. So I believe it was in Beijing in China. Yeah, maybe. Sounds right. But anyhow, that's what this work is about. And so we're going to talk a little bit about motion graphics. Motion graphics is this use of visual effects, live action, and animation to create a two-dimensional project that moves. So think of graphics, think of something that you would see on a video game. You can see apps use motion graphics all the time. Okay, and so here is a title sequence for Seven. I'm not going to play it on here. I'm going to post a link of this on Canvas because it's really good. It's a really, really cool opening sequence for the movie. It's very, well, you could say that it influenced titles like The Walking Dead. Maybe if you guys watch that, or American Horror Story. If you guys watch any of those shows, and if you can recall the opening scenes, you could say that Seven, this movie here, probably influenced it somehow, because this was made in 95. And if you watch these shows that are popular currently, a lot of them were influenced by these early movies. But yes, Seven, I believe, who's in it? Brad Pitt, one of my favorite actors. So yes, I'll post a link of that on our Canvas page. Hopefully you can check it out. So that's what motion design, that's what motion graphics are about. Basically, there's some movement happening. So you're thinking about film, you're thinking about digital animation, text, so almost all of the above. And so we're going to talk a little bit about interactive design, a design discipline which examines the interaction via an interface between a system and its user. So if you are on your computer and that you are interacting with the device, that is an example of interactive design. If you are on your tablet, you are pushing, the screen, you are interacting with that. That is interactive design. And so this is a album design, Biophilia, by the musician Bjork, 2011. And so what is being portrayed here is if you were to buy Bjork's album, Biophilia, then it would actually come with a app you can download. So you buy the CD, or you order the CD, and you are sent or you are given an opportunity to download this app, and that when you open it, it looks like this. It looks like a map, and what's going to end up happening is you can interact with it. So it looks like a galaxy of some sort, surrealist type of a representational map. And if you look at the map, there are these texts. Ooh, it says virus. Moon, thunderbolt, solstice, hollow, crystalline, visual core, sacrifice, and you can actually tap on it. Not now, but if you were to buy this app and you were to tap on it, it would lead you to the song. It would play the song, and then it would play the lyrics at the same time. So how cool is that? And so, very interactive. Okay. So back then, this was 2011, when people were still they were still somewhat buying CDs. They would give you these little perks because you could say that the digital shift was happening and that people weren't really spending that much money to buy physical discs. And so, if you were to buy a DVD or a CD, you would get some sort of extra merchandise or extra download these extra things. So back then, it was actually pretty worth buying products from your favorite artists because you all get these little perks. And so let's take a look at this right here. Maybe some of you recognize what we are looking at. This is actually what the building looks like. So imagine you are driving in Tokyo, you're driving in and around Japan, and you'll see just on their building itself is very, very tall QR code. That's what these are called. QR codes are short for quick response. And through these QR codes, one can access a website, a video, application, or any other information. Terada Design Architects, North Building, Tachikawa, Japan, 2009. Okay, so what a great way to advertise your business. Just put the QR code on the outside. Just put the QR code on the building so that when people are driving by or walking by, they're gonna think, what is that building all about? So they're just gonna bring out their phone, scan the QR code, and right away they're going to see information about that company. Okay, so we talked about interactive design. Now we're gonna talk a little bit about product design. So something about graphic design or design in general is that it is something that is important through all disciplines. So when it comes to product design, you're talking about integrating utility, technology, and cutting-edge design to everyday products. So these our everyday products, our dining tables, our coffee makers, our television screens, they were designed a specific way to integrate all of these different things. Make sure that they are up to date and that they are, they are used for that specific purpose. And so we're looking at product design here, Fuse Project OLPC X03. And this is basically a tablet that was made for children. So we're just looking at a concept of it. I don't think it's something that actually went through and became reality. And so you're looking at what is supposed to be a very accessible tablet that children they can acquire and that they can bring it anywhere they are, so they can study wherever they are. They can drop it, and supposedly it's very sturdy. And so the idea behind this product was that eventually all the students will have one. Okay, and so if we take a look at this product here, Mission One, electric powered motorcycle. You can tell it's electric because you don't see the exhaust You don't see the exhaust pipes. And so, even though it is a motorcycle and that it is electric powered, I'm guessing it maybe it's not as powerful as a regular speed bike, but it might be. It is electric, but they're still trying to maintain the aesthetic of a speed bike, trying to make it still appeal to a particular, particular consumer. Still very sleek, very fast appearing. And this was made in 2009. I don't think I've seen anything like this on the road just yet, but who knows? Okay, product design also incorporates these more industrialized objects. Quiet Revolution QR5 wind turbine, 2009. And so these are actually wind turbines that are created to help generate energy. So even in these type of utility projects, these utility objects that we need for everyday living, in this case, we need these objects to help generate energy, to generate power for our, everyday needs. They try to design it in a way that feels very aesthetically pleasing, to be somewhat minimal in terms of what they are creating, and still be able to do what it's supposed to do. Okay. Another example of a product design, or actually this is more of a interactive design or motion graphics, a little bit of everything, a little bit of all of the above here. Trial Frames for Title Sequence to Rubicon 2010 by Karen Fong. So I believe Rubicon is a film, and so it looks like several variations of that particular design. Just from looking at it, I am guessing there's some movement involved. Okay, another example of her work, Lincoln Center Info Peel, Karen Fong and Mark Gardner, 2009. So this screen here, it changes. You can see the colors. I don't have an actual image of that happening, but you can imagine the colors flipping through the words and the words changing. So very interactive. Anyhow, that covers this chapter. Let me know if you guys have any questions. Take care and hope to hear from you again.